Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on today's broadcast, we'd love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, we hope all you moms had a wonderful Mother's Day and got the expressions of love and attention that you so richly deserve. And guys, I think there's only one identity that is greater than that of being a mom, and that is to being a daughter, a child of the King. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. But boy, we had a special Mother's Day celebration yesterday. We had a lot of fun. Gina really enjoyed being with all of her kids, and except one. Caitlin, our oldest, was off, but we had a great time. I got to call my mom and wish her a happy Mother's Day. I know you guys did as well, enjoyed the day. But yes, that is an incredible role. And, for all of us, our moms, it's the first person that we learned anything about love from. Mm-hmm. I mean, they cared for us. They did everything for us. They loved us, and boy, that impacted us. And I think, when everybody gets old and, settled into what their life is all about, they remember their mom.
Absolutely.
And they rise up and call her blessed, just as the Word of God says. So it was a special day, and I hope all the mothers out there had a very wonderful Mother's Day. Yeah. This week is an important week as far as Christianity is concerned. Sunday, May 20th, is Pentecost Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not a Sunday that many people really step back and look at and really dive into the Word of God to see what Pentecost is all about. But I think it's one of the most important Sundays on the Christian calendar. Mm-hmm. It's when the gift was given. And we read about it in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and 2. And we're going to spend a lot of time this week looking at Pentecost and exactly what it means to you. We're going to post some articles. We're going to post some different things on our Facebook and
YouTube,
Twitter page and YouTube things. So pay attention. This is important stuff.
Yeah.
And it's something that we definitely should celebrate more than we do as believers in Christ. So in Acts chapter 1, we see in verse 4, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem." So there was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've already celebrated that resurrection, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus spent 40 days from the time of his resurrection to the time of his ascension on planet Earth, and he appeared to over 500 people. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to, like, Mary Magdalene and the women there that went to see him at the tomb or prepare the body at the tomb. He appeared to the Apostle Paul. He appeared to James. And then 500 other people during this 40-day period. Mm-hmm. And, boy, those encounters would have been something to have experienced.
Yeah.
And to be one of the witnesses of the resurrected Christ.
Yes, indeed.
But before he ascends, he is with his disciples, and he says to them, "I want you to wait. I do not want you to depart from Jerusalem, but I want you to wait for the promise of the Father." So there was a promise of God the Father made on behalf of the people who would receive Jesus. And he says, "You have heard this promise from me, for John baptized with water." So John the Baptist came on the scene. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He prepared the way. He identified Jesus as the Messiah to the people of Israel. As a matter of fact, I like to think of that baptism when Jesus went into those waters and John put him down into the water and the dove descended. I like to think of that as John being the MC introducing the main act. That God had entrusted him with that august introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And so he introduced the Messiah to the people of Israel.
Yes.
And then he faded away. He said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And so the spotlight went upon Jesus. He took center stage. Why? Because everything is about the Son. And so he died. He was raised from the dead. He's about to ascend. And he said, John baptized with water. And that was important. That was a preparation. That was an introduction to me. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So what was the promise of the Father? It was the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus was the one who expressed that promise, told them about what was going to happen, but that promise was from the Father. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? This promise was fulfilled. God poured out the Spirit upon mankind, and the Spirit took up residence in the hearts of men and women, all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's when we were born again, when that death, that burial, that resurrection of Jesus Christ had meaning, was made real for you and me. So this Pentecost is not, you know, a crazy, you know, holiday we just kind of gloss over. It is significant to us on a day-to-day basis. Without the giving of the Holy Spirit, we would be like the Old Testament saints waiting for the promise. But the promise has been fulfilled. The gift has been given. So when you and I come to faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is true for both Jew and Gentile. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved, and they receive the gift of God's Spirit.
And what a gift that is.
Yes, indeed.
Or he is, I should say. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to really join us and be a part of the broadcast at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. You can donate online at basicgospel.net to help keep the good news coming, or you can call that same number, 844-322-2742, anytime, 24 hours daily. And, of course, with your gift this month, you're going to receive our new 2-CD series called It Is Finished, 5 messages that will drive home the bedrock truth that in Christ, forgiveness is a done deal, now and forever. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And, guys, we've talked about it just a little bit, but at the end of next month, that concludes our fiscal year. And so we're hoping to really close it on a really, really good note.
Yes, indeed. And we are so grateful for all the people who have partnered with us this year. We have seen God expand the borders of Basic Gospel Nation.
Yes.
We're reaching new people. We're having new ministry opportunities. And we just know there's going to be more of those ministry opportunities coming to us in the new fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And so we want to keep the momentum going. We want to keep the support coming so that we can continue to tell this story as often as we can to as many people as we can. And I think in this world today, this simple, clear proclamation of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, is the news that people are truly longing to hear.
Indeed.
And when they hear it for what it is, many people hear, but they're not really listening. It comes out a completely different story.
Yeah.
But when they hear about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and they realize it truly is a story about Jesus, there's something that resonates deep within them, and they can respond with faith. So thank you, partners, for mm-hmm. helping make this possible. And if you've never given to Basic Gospel, we ask you to come and join with us, to partner with us, and let's together proclaim the good news to as many people as we can so that we can have more opportunities as they come. And we know that they will be coming.
Without question. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742, which, of course, is open for donations and for your calls right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go talk to Curtis, who's listening to us in Forney, Texas, on The Word FM. Hi, Curtis.
Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to say, first of all, I drive a truck for a living, so every chance I get, I tune you guys in every day at 2:30, and I really appreciate everything. And you're helping me to grow in my gospel knowledge, to put it bluntly. And me and a good friend of mine a few days ago were arguing. He's a bit of an agnostic, so he kind of questions the existence of God. And he was basically telling me that he just didn't believe there was a hell. He didn't understand how God could send anybody to a place like that, and he didn't believe that it was an actual physical place. So my question today, guys, is I was wondering if you could touch on that so that I would be more knowledgeable as to where I could tell him where it exactly is and what it, exactly is. I mean, because I believe there's a hell, and I always have, but he seems to not think so. And I thought, well, maybe if I had a little more ammo, next time I talk to him, I could help clarify it some in his mind. But that's what I was wondering. I know it's kind of an off-the-wall question, but you guys are awesome, and I really love the show, and I'll always make things just so simple and clear, and even for me to understand.
Well, thank you, Curtis. We appreciate the call, and it's not an off-the-wall question. I think it's a central question. It's a very important question. And let me frame it for you in maybe a different light, in some different terms. Let's think in terms of life and death. So when Jesus came, he came to offer us life. Our problem, Curtis, was the fact that we were dead spiritually. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually. So they lost the life that God had breathed into them in creation. And so they passed that spiritual condition on to every single human being. So we all come into this world spiritually dead. And so Jesus came that we might have life. So our problem is the fact that we were dead. The solution is new life through faith in Jesus. So those who are made alive together with Christ are those who are going to be with Christ forever. He is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. So then you ask the question, what happens to those people who reject that life, who say, I don't want Jesus as my life. I'm happy with this human life. I'm happy with who I am. I reject Jesus. So what happens to those who remain dead spiritually? And that's really the judgment. The judgment is you refused life in Jesus Christ, so you just remain dead eternally, spiritually dead eternally. And so that death, that spiritual death, that eternal spiritual death is kind of the realm of what hell is all about. So it is a place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it actually does.
Yeah, so I think when we look at it in terms of life and death, those who are alive in Christ and those who are dead outside of Christ, you see in eternity, those who are alive in Christ are going to be with Christ, and those who are dead are going to be outside that realm. So we don't know a whole lot about that place, but it is a place of torment, a place of punishment. Here's how Paul wrote about it in 2 Thessalonians. He said, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints. So they're going to be in a place away from Christ's presence. Those of us who are alive are going to be with Christ.
Right. Well, and if that's not hell, then I don't know what is.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So,
right. Well, thank you, guys. That does clarify it a bit for me. Me and him are we're really close, and I know people have their own beliefs and everything, and I try my best to throw some gospel his way to try to, you know, make him see things clearly. I just wish I was better at wording it sometimes, but you guys, I listen to you every day when I can if I'm in the truck, and y'all always help clarify a lot of things that are on my mind for sure, and I do appreciate everything you do.
Well, thanks, Curtis. We appreciate the call. Yeah. Glad you're out there listening. We'll know that, and every time we come in the studio, we can think about you, knowing that you're listening. So that's a good thing, Curtis. We appreciate it. But when you talk to your friend, try to couch this in terms of death and life, those who are dead outside of Christ and those who are alive through faith in Christ. And say, where are those two different groups going to be eternally?
Exactly. Yeah, and like I said, because that's what I was not sure, like, what direction they go in, because I couldn't explain to him that it was an actual, you know, physical place. He's like, there's no way there's, like, a big cave in the center of the earth where everybody goes, and they call it hell. And I said, well, Steve, I don't know. Let me look into this for you.
Well, I think he shows some good discernment there. I mean, we do well to reject the idea that hell is this giant cave in the center of the earth with Satan running around with a pitchfork tormenting people. That's just wrong. It's not a place you want to be, but God hasn't told us where it is. But he has told us, like Bob was reading, that it is complete separation from him for eternity. That's not a good thing.
No, not at all.
Don't want any part of that.
Yeah. And that passage was 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 down through verse 9.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I'll jot that down, guys. And you guys are definitely a blessing in my life, and I sure appreciate everything you do.
Thank you,
Curtis. God bless you, my friend.
I think people on the big island of Hawaii right now are kind of wondering what's going on there.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff bubbling up there. 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock and open lines right now. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to Los Angeles and talk to Antoine. Hi, Antoine.
Hey, guys. My call is kind of on the same lines as the previous guys. You guys sent me a book on the Muslim, and I had a friend who's a Muslim, and I was wondering how to. It kind of shook me up when he started talking about it, and I'm glad you guys sent me that book because it did help clarify some things. And one of the main things they told me is just to be a friend to the guy was the main thing, and don't talk down to him like. I'm superior to him, but I just want to thank you guys for sending that book and helping clarify some things. And I'm going to study it some more before I talk to him about it.
Well, you are welcome, my friend.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That was a little pamphlet on what everybody needs to know about talking to Muslims. And I think what we were just talking to our friend Curtis about is couching conversations based on real needs. So it doesn't matter what religious background somebody may have or whether they don't have a religious background at all. We've all experienced that deep spiritual need. There's a void. There's an emptiness inside of us. The Bible calls that spiritual death. And there's only one person that offers a solution. There's no other religious system that offers a solution that promises life to those who are dead in sin. So I think when we try to keep our conversations right there, we have, I think, a greater ability to actually have a conversation. Instead of trying to say, well, your religious belief system is wrong, mine is right, now you got a fight on your hands. But if you can look deep within a person's heart and say, you know, what's really going on inside? Has your belief system answered that emptiness, that longing deep within your heart? And when you talk right there, you've got a conversation.
Yeah, I can see that because I don't have that wanting to know something else. You know, I feel like I'm satisfied with Jesus is enough. You know, it's not like I'm like even when he was talking, I wasn't like trying to understand his point of view for me. You know, I was more
wanting to help him the whole time. You know, it's like I do feel satisfied where I'm with Christ. It's enough, you know, and I don't know.
Well, he is enough. Why? Because, because he's life. And when you receive him, you receive his life. And that fills that emptiness within the soul.
Yes. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Antoine, and thanks for your call.
Yes.
We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah. Want to remind you, friends, that we stream live video every day to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Hope you'll join us. You can come on in inside the studio and kind of see us as we are actually delivering the broadcast every day. That's, again, the Facebook page for Basic Gospel and the YouTube channel. A question from Lizzie that kind of dives a little bit deep here, guys. She said, I don't know where she's writing from, but she says, I want to ask if Elijah actually came before Jesus did. One of the prophecies says that Elijah will appear first. Even the disciples were not satisfied with the answer that Jesus gave. He said that Elijah came, but people didn't recognize him. The disciples thought that maybe he was John the Baptist. Did Elijah actually come or not? If he hasn't, that means Jesus is not the Messiah. And if Elijah did come, it was supposed to be a sign of the coming of the Messiah. So what's the point of a sign if no one notices it? That's from Lizzie, who wrote to us through email.
Well, you know, that was a promise that the prophet Elijah would come, but he came in the person of John the Baptist.
Yes.
So John the Baptist was that Elijah forerunner, mm-hmm. The one who prepared the way for the coming of Messiah. So Jesus answered that very clearly, didn't he, Richard?
Yeah, he did. I'm not getting the text right here, but he clearly identified John the Baptist as the fulfillment of that prophecy, because they did the same thing. I mean, Elijah called the northern kingdom back to the one true God. John the Baptist called Judaism in his day back to the one true God and identified Jesus as the Messiah. Very similar activities on the part of both of them in that case. And so John the Baptist was that fulfillment. Jesus was the one both of them were pointing forward to.
Yes, indeed. And the reference on that is Matthew 11, 7 through 14. Verse 14 actually reads this, verse 13 and 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah,
yes,
who is to come. Mm-hmm. So Jesus Christ clearly identified John the Baptist as Elijah, that fulfillment of that prophecy about Elijah coming right before Messiah. John the Baptist was that guy.
Yeah. Lizzie, appreciate your question, and appreciate the questions that all of you send us. You can send us a question by email, as Lizzie did, and you can do that by addressing it to bob@basicgospel.net. You can drop a question to us on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel as well, and we would love to address your question on Basic Gospel. Now, if you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live and post your question to us directly, you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. That number is available for you, and you can record your question, and we would be glad to address it here at Basic Gospel anytime, 844-322-2742. Want to remind you also of a great trip coming up to the Holy Land next year, beginning May 25th of next year through June 6th. It's going to be a fantastic trip, and I hope you'll make plans to, go online to basicgospel.net and click the banner at the top of the page. Get all the information, and we'd love to see you on that trip. Friends, if people don't understand that all their sins have been forgiven, they will never grow in their relationship with our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know what? Your gift will directly help us to communicate the gospel, to allow others to grow in their faith and to confidently rest and in the truth that will set them free. To help in this regard, we have an excellent new resource called It Is Finished. 5 messages and a 2-CD set, and it's yours to share with your family and friends when you give to support Basic Gospel in this month of May. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Help us keep the good news coming and share it with your family and friends. Again, visit basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And once again, by the way, that same number is available overnight if you have a question you'd like to pose, and we'll address it soon on Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks for being with us today for this particular broadcast, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.